Hi there, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're today we're going to be reading some of my literature that the Lord has given me. And I think the most apropos one to start out with is a piece of literature that the Lord gave me called entitled Earthquake. And also, if we have enough time, I'll be doing something on the consecration and prayer. I've been trying to get that message done now for quite some time. Then we have some letters. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this message. Father, we thank this message tape. Father, we thank you. We ask that you pour out your anointing outward, anointing on me, Lord, that you'd speak right through me. And Lord, you've already done that on the piece of literature that you've given me. We pray that the people will heed this message, because they can obviously see, if they read the Bible, that you're fulfilling the scriptures by sending plagues upon the earth. Now, the naive newscasters and other people are saying that this is Mother Nature, but you, Father, of course, and I know that there's no such thing as Mother Nature, and that these are not natural disasters that happen because of the fact that there are faults. You are the one that put faults in the earth, and as a warning to people that earthquakes could happen at any time, and also hurricanes could happen at any time, and all the other plagues that you mentioned, such as diseases, including this bird flu that everyone is so worried about now, which the scientists and the chemists and the news media are polyparroting what they say, that it could destroy one-third of the world's population, and that it wasn't too long ago that millions and millions of people were all killed by one plague or another. 25 million, 50 million people, 80 million people at one time. And this will be much worse, because one-third of the earth population will be around 2 billion people. So that's why, Father, I keep telling them what you say, that what we've seen thus far is like a Sunday school picnic. That it's nothing in comparison to what's to come. So we ask, Father God, that you'll open the hearts and the ears, the spiritual ears and the minds of and the souls of people out in Radio Land, that they'll receive this message for the salvation of their souls, and that for the strengthening and warning to the church and to everyone in the world. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, now we have some letters. Where's the first one from?
From California City, California.
Well, praise the Lord. Okay, let's hear that.
Hello, Brother Tony Alamo. I pray God's blessings be on you, since you are carrying on in this wonderful ministry which God has entrusted you with. I want to send you warm, special greetings. I want to take this time to let you know that I received the booklet entitled Messiah. It is a wonderful book. This book, as well as all of your literature, are a wonderful help to me. They were not only a help to me, but to all the brethren here in Christ. If it's possible, please send me more literature or any books you may have available. I will be very grateful for this. Thank you for considering my request. May the Lord bless and prosper you and all those who work in the Alamo Ministries. Your brother in Christ, Caesar from California City, California.
Praise the Lord. I think we should also, we're going to attempt to read all of the literature, as much that I've written, that God has given me, and then we could possibly read the entire Messiah book, one tape at a time, so people can have the entire catalog. Amen?
Amen.
That would be nice, okay? And being it is that we're hitting several billion people now, because we're on the air on three major stations in Africa and India, all over the world, save a lot of money on postage. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so where's the next letter from?
From Uganda, Africa.
All right.
Hello, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Christian love and greetings to you. The purpose of this letter is to appreciate and thank you for your work well done for the Lord in your positive response to His, God's, call and to His great commission. May God richly bless you. Referring to the message of God through you entitled The Pope's Secrets and Earthquake, after reading the confession prayer therein, I write you for instructions on how to receive power from God by receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Well, in other words, you want to know how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because after you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you receive it, you will have the power of God in you. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for the outward anointing of the ministry. It seems that you have a desire to be part of the ministry, and if that's why you'd want to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to give you strength to endure these tribulations, because no matter what anyone tells you, we are not going to be raptured out of the tribulations. So the Lord tells us that immediately after the tribulations is when the Lord's going to come and gather His people. Now, some of us may be taken out of the world before the incredibly great tribulations happen, but we're into tribulations already. All one needs to read is the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, and you'll see that we're in the tribulations, in the beginning of sorrows. And so I don't think that you're going to get out of them. What do you think that you're in already? Look at all the diseases. One-third of the world population could possibly be killed by this flu virus, the bird flu, and not to mention all the earthquakes and all the other plagues that the Lord speaks of in the book of Revelation, where it talks of the seven seals, where the Lord, only He was able to open them up, and it tells in each seal what the different plagues will be. The Bible states that even the world, the entire earth, will be moved off of its axis. The entire earth. It'll be not just an earthquake, but the entire globe will be taken off of its axis. The mountains will disappear. The hills will disappear. Every building will be shattered. And woe unto you if you're not saved. Woe unto you if you are not with the Lord. All right, then what else?
And instructions on how to please the Lord fully.
Well, the instruction book is the Bible. It's just full of instructions on how to please the Lord. Just open it up, read it, and do what it says. Amen?
Amen.
First thing is to get your soul saved. Sounds like it is that you are. You wouldn't be interested in serving the Lord at all. Get the Spirit of the Lord in you, and then receive the outward anointing. It's the same outward anointing that the Lord received when at John's baptism, after He came out of the water, after He was totally submerged. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God in the shape of a dove came down upon Him, and He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit then, He was prepared for the ministry then. And the Holy Spirit outwardly pushed Him into the wilderness to be tempted or tested by the devil. And so the Lord passed that test with flying colors. And we must also, because the Christ with the Father by the Spirit is in us, and so it's the same Spirit that was in Christ if we're saved, if we're born again of the Spirit. And so He said we can do all things in Christ Jesus, but you have to be in Christ Jesus, and He has to be in you. And we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We're more than conquerors over our flesh, sin, Satan, the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So just get baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the way you do that is you just thank and praise the Lord. Keep reading His Word. And the Word, by reading the Word, you receive more faith. When you have the faith and you whatsoever you ask, the Lord will give it to you. You say, Father, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then you start thanking Him for it, because He's already provided it for you. He provided salvation for us and you and myself. And He provided healing for you and myself and everyone that asks. And He provided the baptism of the Holy Spirit for you and everyone that asks. He said he would send the Comforter, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to those of us that are keeping his commandments. And he, let every man be called a liar, but God. And Christ is God. He's God the Son, and he's also the Father. They're one. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one unit, one God. And we are his body. So if you're doing the commandments, yeah, you're reading his word and doing what it says, it's perfectly clear in the Bible. And I, the messages that the Lord gives me are very clear to most people. And if you just follow these instructions and ask the Lord, Lord, you provided the salvation for me, which is the most important thing, and healing, which is very important also. So therefore, people should not commit suicide or ask anyone to help them commit suicide, because you should ask for healing. Because if you go out into eternity by having someone help you commit murder on yourself, well, then you're going to hell for murder, because you are the temple of God. You don't belong to yourself. And if you murder the temple of God, God's going to have you. You think you're suffering now, but there's no suffering in the world that there is that will match suffering in hell in the lake of fire eternally. It just never ends, and you'll never stop. So get saved, and then instead of murdering yourself, ask the Lord to heal you, and he will. All right? So by faith all things are ours, and also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So just call on to the Lord if you're really keeping all of his commandments by and able to do so by the power of God that's in you. All you have to do is just praise and thank the Lord for providing the baptism of the Holy Spirit for you. He said, I will, after I go away, I'll send the Comforter to you. And so believe that and receive it now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Just thank and praise him now for it. And when you believe that you have it, you'll receive it. Then your tongue will start stammering. You'll start stammering. And praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And the Spirit of God will come down and fill you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's so many people say Holy Ghost, but God is not a ghost. He's a spirit. God is a spirit. And all those that worship him must worship him by their spirit, in their spirit. So I just thank and praise the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is yours. He wants you to have the Holy Spirit and healing and salvation more than you do, because he died for it, took a beating for you, and went away so that he could send it to you. All right? So praise the Lord. Okay, and then what? There's your instructions on how to receive the baptism. This is right from the Lord. Because I asked the Lord, Lord, let you lead this service, and talk right through my mouth, and he did. Mm-hmm. And so now receive it, and you have everything that he's provided for you. He's also provided everything for you. And he's prepared the kingdom of heaven for you that love him and keep his commandments. Then what?
And if possible, I beg to be enlightened on the origin of the rosary.
Okay. I ask a lot of people, you know, I ask them in the church, have you ever seen me stumped with a question? Now, I know what the origin of the rosary is. Do you? No, you're stumped. Let me tell you where the origin of the rosary is from. It's from the devil, okay? And they say, but I mean, I want to know who manufactured the rosary. I'll tell you that too. Somebody that is a possession of the devil, amen?
Amen.
And they also made all the statues that are in the Catholic cult. And it's all people that are possessed or possessions of Satan. And so those of you that are possessions of Satan, that doesn't mean that you can't break away from him. Just come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So the origin of the rosary and all those statues is Satan. And those that manufactured them are possessions of Satan. Amen?
Amen.
So you don't want to manufacture statues of anything on earth or anything in heaven, or what you think is in heaven. All right, then what else?
And any other necessary information about it as used by Roman Catholics.
Well, that's it. It all comes to the spirit of Satan got into him and says, we got to have a relic here. And so he spoke to his possessions, people that are possessed by him, and said, let's make one of these beads so they can say all these different chants and pray, and how they pray to Mary, who is not deity. She can't hear you. She's a dead Jewish girl. And she was a good Jewish girl, just like every born-again Christian that's serving the Lord is a good Christian. but she is not deity, and neither are you. We're part of the Lord's body. As a corporate body of Christ, we all become members of his body, but God the Father is God, Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, not Mary. And never, it's just really heresy and wickedness and a thing that angers God tremendously if you're praying to anyone other than God through Christ Jesus. There's one mediator to the throne of God, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. And Christ was a man. He came to the world as a man in the flesh so that he'd have genuine human blood to shed for our sins. God has no blood in him. He's the Spirit. Spirit doesn't have blood. And so God had to come to earth in a as a man in order to have genuine human blood. And when he laid his life down and was crucified on the cross, he shed that genuine human blood, from a human body that had never sinned before. In that human body was the actual spirit of the fullness of the Godhead, which was God himself, with the Son, the God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and gave this human body, Jesus, the power to not sin. So it was a sinless body that was crucified on the cross, and it was sinless blood that was shed for you and myself, and therefore there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. But there isn't any human or any animal that has blood that is sufficient enough to take away the sins of the world. Off of our soul. So God himself did that for us, and so we need to praise and thank the Lord for that. Amen?
Amen.
Now you're saved. There's nothing but the blood of Jesus that can take away my sin. What can take away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? And nothing but the blood of Jesus. Remember that. Let that stick in your brain like the hair in a drain. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord, because that's the truth. All right, then what?
Otherwise, I am a born-again Christian in the Anglican Church, a student studying medical techniques.
Okay, what you need to do is be a born-again Christian in the body of Christ. Now, there's no church that died on the cross and shed his blood for us. Only Christ. Now, we are the temple of God. We're the church, and you just need to be a member of Christ's body and a member let him use you as a temple, and you use him as your temple. There isn't any church. So let's go on. Then what else?
And longing for purity and holiness in my life.
Well, there you are. Just listen to the literature that the Lord gave me. Listen to our tapes on radio, and if you'll call our number at the church, we can tell you what station we're on in your area, or if you would rather write, we have a post office box you can write to. Will you please give them our phone number and our where they can mail their questions to us. If you have any questions about the Bible, feel free to send them to me, and I will answer the questions for you. It isn't something that people say, well, I'll fast and pray about. I'm always at the throne of the Lord, always. And so it doesn't take me but a flash of a second to get the answer from the Lord. So here's our address and phone number.
The address is Tony Alamo Christian Ministries Worldwide, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505.
And the phone number, if you want to call our phone room. Now, not all of them will be able to answer your questions, but if you give them your name and address and your question, I'll be glad to answer it on the air. All right? Go ahead and give them that.
Area code 479-782-7370.
Do it again. Just explain the number again, please.
479-782-7370.
All right. Well, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, and those of you that are not saved yet. God will bless you. Just if you want to get closer to him, you want more purity, that comes from reading the Word, and more faith comes by hearing the word and reading it yourself. And let the God bless your spirit. He says, he that has a ear, a spiritual ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says to the churches, to the different people who are his tabernacles. Okay, then what?
I desire to know my God more than before. I need more of your literature. Pray for me and my salvation.
Okay, well, see, you don't pray for people's salvation. You can pray that they'll be saved, but you have to preach to them. It pleases God that the world would be saved by the foolishness of what? Praying?
No.
What? By the foolishness of preaching the gospel, okay? So don't think that you're going to win anybody's soul by just praying for them. It pleases God that the world would be saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel, because the gospel is foolishness unto those that are going to hell and the lake of fire, to those that perish. Okay, so if you don't know how to preach, ask for my literature, give it to the people that you're praying that they get saved, and I will be praying that the Lord will open their heart to receive the things that the Lord has given me. And if they read it, I believe they will be saved, because some of the most hardened criminals in the world get saved from reading this literature, all right, and hearing these tapes. Okay, then what?
I hope God will give you the opportunity to positively consider my request.
Oh, I positively have. And give this brother or this person a copy of this tape so that we can he can see that we enjoyed his letter and we're very happy to answer the questions. Then what?
Please, I beg you, help me, help others and myself to come closer to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thanks. May God bless you. Yours in Christ, Samson from Uganda, Africa.
All right. Praise the Lord. That's a good letter. I like letters that ask questions. All right. And then, is that it? Okay. Now, this is the piece of literature that the Lord gave me regarding the trials and tribulations, the perils that people are experiencing now, regarding the plagues that are coming not from Mother Nature, the plagues that are coming not by natural disasters. These plagues, if you'll read the Bible, you see they're coming from the Lord, just like he drowned the entire earth and barbecued Sodom and Gomorrah, and promises and opened up the earth and swallowed a bunch of anti-God people into hell alive and whole. And you'll see that in the New Testament, he says all the plagues that are coming down. Read the book of Revelation, you'll see. And also that he's going to burn the earth with a fervent heat. Read it in Peter wrote those things. All right, let's start. This is earthquake.
To enter heaven, we must first confess our sins and repent of them. Then we must discipline ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. God tells us in his word that he chastens or disciplines those whom he loves.
Okay, so that's what the Lord is doing now, is he's disciplining the earth. Because he loves you so much that he wants you to repent. But we get this literature to everybody in the world, and they still don't repent. So then God says chastening doesn't do any good. He shows that he's the chastening people all over the world by destroying them because of their rejection of his son. And then he says, this could happen to you. Now repent. And if you don't, well, something will come your way for sure. Then what?
Quote, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth.
You say, well, how in the world can God say that he loves us if he chastens us? Well, if my little boy, if I've got a little boy or a little girl, and they start going out into the freeway and playing jacks out there in the middle of a busy freeway, I'm going to tell them, no, 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 and then I'm going to pull them away. But if they keep going there, then I'm going to give them a couple of swats on the rear end. I'm going to chasten them to teach them, don't go out there because I don't want you to get killed. And then if they go out again, I'm going to give them a few more swats, and then I'm going to chase them by fencing them in to where they can't get away, because I don't want this foolish child to get killed. And I'm going to keep doing that and intensify the chastening until they're either going to get right and listen to what I say, or I'm going to have to send them to a mental institution or something, okay? Because if I can't control them, if they won't receive the discipline of the Lord, then you got to put a dunce hat on their head and say, this kid is too dangerous to be loose. He's a loose, or she's a loose cannon. They're liable to get killed, and I don't want them to get killed because I love them so much. Hopefully you understand that. I know there's so much twisted thinking in the world today, but that's the way it really is. All right, then what?
That was Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Quote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his," bracket word, "his," unbracket,
"yeah, his only begotten son." His son is the Word of God. Jesus is the son, the Word of God. So when you say, when the Bible says, we're saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that means we're saved by believing the entire Word of God. So some people say, well, I believe in the name of Jesus. His name is the Word of God, so be sure that you believe the whole Word when you say that, or else you're not telling the truth. It states in the Word of God that he is the Word of God. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Then what?
Bracket, Christ is the whole Word of God. And
right.
Bracket.
Amen. Then what?
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Unquote. John chapter 3, verse 16. God has always sent plagues to chasten the people of the world, and he has never changed his policy. He is, quote, the same yesterday and today and forever, unquote. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. In an attempt to save the souls of the billions of people on earth today, the Holy Spirit is sending plagues to chasten, punish them, as a father would chasten, punish his sons or daughters, so that they might be saved. We must be chastened until we decide to behave ourselves in accordance with God's word. God is chastening the people he created in his image and likeness for the purpose of bringing them into repentance and salvation,
so that they can enter the kingdom of heaven and not go to hell in the lake of fire. Isn't that love?
Yes.
Okay, well, anybody that would think it's not, you are a simpleton. You're a satanic simpleton as well. Then what?
It is impossible for us to receive the ultimate reward of an eternity in the kingdom of heaven unless we, with gratitude, receive the chastening or the disciplining of the Holy Spirit. We must receive Christ with the Father by the Holy Spirit into our hearts, our spirits.
You know, and the Bible says that the Word of God is the Holy Spirit, and it is life. So when you're opening your Bible, you're not opening up a book. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Christ. It's God himself. This book is more than a book. It is the internal Spirit of God. So when you read it, you're going to start feeling. If you read it prayerfully, you're going to feel the Spirit of God entering into your spirit. All right? Because it's more. It's God himself. The Bible says so. It's Christ, God, the Word. Then what?
We must receive Christ with the Father by the Holy Spirit into our hearts, our spirits, so that we, by the Holy Spirit living in us, may be what the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit wants us to be. The Holy Spirit wants our old, worthless life to be put to death, so that we, by the Holy Spirit, will become resurrected new creations, with only Christ with the Father by the Spirit living and working both in us and through us. Then, whatever we do, it will be as Paul said, not us that does it, but Christ in us doing the works. By this, the works our body with Christ in us will do will truly be the work of God.
Read that again, because you read it so fast I don't think people can grasp it. Read it again, okay. That last sentence.
By this, the works our body with Christ in us will do will truly be the work of God.
Right, because of the fact that if God is in us and we let him do the work in us, then it's really the work of God, not us. Okay, then what?
No longer our works. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the eyes of God. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. It can't be our works. It must be the work of God. However, we must cooperate with the Holy Spirit, which is also God's word.
In other words, when the Lord moves our spirit to do something, our human bodies must follow suit and do what it says, because to know the Word of God and not do it is sin. And sin is of the devil, the Bible says. He that sinneth is of the devil. Then what?
Jesus said, quote, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." John chapter 6, verse 63.
So the Word of God is spirit, and it's your very immortal life. So read the Word of God. you say, I don't have enough time for that, what you're saying really is that you don't have enough time to receive or gain immortality, eternal life in heaven. Then what?
If it is our works, Christ at judgment will tell us, quote, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, unquote, Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. Jesus said we must be, quote, born of water and of the Spirit, unquote, John chapter 3, verse 5. When Christ with the Father by the Spirit enters our spirits, this action temporarily mortifies every evil thought, including all of the lusts of the world, the flesh, and the mind.
Yeah, it kills all the evil thoughts that we have and desires. Mortifies, kills. Then what?
He will continue to mortify or put to death all these on a daily basis by our allowing ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit every day.
By the Word of God, which is the Holy Spirit. Then what?
This is the only road to perfection. This is how we become perfect in the sight of God. Perfection is continuously walking in the Spirit according to, quote, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, unquote.
Right. Anyone that, this says, there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And when you walk, there's a lot of laws. There's the law of sin and death. There's the law of Moses. There's the law of the moral law, which is the law of God that he wrote himself by his finger on two tables of granite. And then there is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So if you have the Spirit of God in you and you're walking according to the Word of God, which is Spirit and life, well, then you have eternal life. You have immortality. You have the kingdom of heaven. You've escaped hell in the lake of fire. And so you must read the Word of God every day in order to have the Spirit of God flowing in and through you. See, we walk one day at a time. You don't have to think of 2 days ahead. Just think of one day ahead, because none of us know that we're going to live 2 days from now, because we have no guarantee that we're going to live, but we certainly have a guarantee that we're going to die. We're going to die, and that's for sure and certain, and we're going to stand before the Lord, and we must be pure and clean. No sin will enter the kingdom of heaven. Then what?
That was Romans chapter 8, verse 2. The ones who tell you, quote, no one is perfect, unquote, are saying this because they deny the Word of God, which is the Spirit and the power of God.
So the Lord says that there's no condemnation. That means no hell or lake of fire to those that walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That means that you're perfect if you walk after the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So anyone that tells you that there's no one that is perfect, according to God, you are perfect if you're walking in the Spirit. So the people that tell you that no one is perfect are liars, and they're trying to call God a liar. But the Bible says, let every man be called a liar, but let God be called the truth, because you can see that his word is true, because the very plagues that he said would be visiting this earth at the time, at the end, are happening right now. So that surely must make any person that has any brains in their head to know that the Word of God is true, and many other truths as well. For instance, us Jews preaching the gospel to you Gentiles. The Bible said that us Jews should be preaching the gospel to you. My real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman, not Tony Alamo. And I was saved 41 years ago, and I know in whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to preserve, to keep that which he has given unto me, okay, and that is my, he has cleansed my soul and given me life. Then what?
They have not yet received the disciplining of the Holy Spirit. Hence, they still walk according to, quote, the law of sin and death, unquote, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Until we all come to the conclusion that our opinions and our ideas are of no value, and that God's Word, which is God, is everything that we must value, God will continue to visit this earth with every form of disciplinary action that he has promised us that he would in his living word.
That he would give us in these, especially in these last days. Well, he's done it from the very beginning with the flood and all the other things I mentioned, and many more things in the Bible that tell that you cannot fight God and win. The way that you win with God is to receive everything he says. Lay your life down and don't try to do anything other than what he says, because he is a dictator. You know, he's not a Democrat or Republican. He is a dictator, and he's theocratic. That means God-cratic, not democratic, not Republican. Okay, then what?
This discipline is coming to the world now in a variety of plagues. Many Bible scriptures tell us that earthquakes are one of God's various plagues against the disobedient people of the world. The
Some people like to worship Muhammad. Other people over there in Pakistan are some of the choice ones. And now over 42,000 of them that I know of that they're saying on the news have been killed because they refused to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Muhammad was a white man. They think that he was a black, but he was white. And it even says it in the writings of the Muslims. And he can't get you into heaven. And God wants all the Muslims in the world to repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ and to get away from Muhammad. And that includes Muhammad Ali, because and all the other people that worship this false God. Drop him and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And those of you that are experiencing these horrible things that are happening over there, and those of you that worship the Pope in the Vatican, which is the head of the Antichrist movement in the world, and also it was the Vatican that raised up the Muslim religion so that they could do the things that the Vatican wanted them to do to take the blame of being the Antichrist off the Vatican. And so they're all one world religion. The Vatican is the ruler of the one world religion. Now, the Lord created the earth, but not the world system. The world system is something of the devil. We have to beware of that. So if you Muslims don't want to receive any more of these plagues, and you want to get rid of the famines and all the disease that's over there, give your heart to the Lord and you'll see a definite change in everything. You'll be blessed by the Lord rather than cursed. Okay, then what else?
Earthquakes are one of God's various plagues against the disobedient people of the world, the people who refuse to walk according to God's word, which is both spirit and life, eternal life. They are condemned, but, quote, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, unquote, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Again, when a person walks daily...
And you know, when you people are saying, you Muslims are saying, kill whitey, that we white people, and I'm Jewish, but I consider myself, even though we have olive-colored skin, and Jesus did too, we're still considered Caucasians. And so if you're saying, kill whitey, then you're the same spirit that killed Jesus. All right? And if you think God's going to go for that you're saying, kill murder, when the Lord says all murderers, all killers shall spend eternity in the lake of fire, in hell in the lake of fire, then don't wonder why, you know, you've got these mudslides covering you, and that, you know, all these people are being killed. I saw a man on the television news where he was weeping because his entire family got wiped up, and it showed and it showed all these graves of his boys and his girls and his wife that he was putting in there, and looked like he was in terrible misery. That wouldn't have happened if he would have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. These are plagues that God promises that he's going to put upon you. And God is not lying. You'll find that everything that God says is the truth. And what you've seen so far is nothing in comparison to what's going to happen. One-third, just one of the plagues, is one-third of the world's population. Over 2 billion people are going to be killed at one time. And some of them will be you if you don't repent. See, we don't worry about dying if we're saved, if we're washed in the blood of Jesus, if we're walking according to the Spirit of the law, of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We don't worry about dying because we know we're going into the kingdom of heaven. And a lot of people are not afraid to die. But aren't you afraid to go to hell in the lake of fire for eternity, to be in constant pain and not be able to be delivered from it? If you're not, then there's something terribly, terribly wrong with you. You're really warped. There's something terribly wrong with you. Snap out of it. Come to Christ for salvation and for peace and happiness and joy. and to avoid all these plagues. Then what?
Again, when a person walks daily after the Spirit of God, they are perfect in the eyes of God. People must learn that to be perfect, to not be condemned with the plagues, they must walk after, quote, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, unquote, the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. A multitude of scriptures throughout the entire Bible, including Psalm chapter 18, verse 7, state the fact that God uses plagues to chasten the disobedient people of the world to repentance or to destroy them if they don't repent. Quote, then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he, bracket God, and bracket, was wroth, unquote.
Was angry. He's angry at this world. That's why he's pouring these plagues out, because you're worshiping Buddha, Muhammad, the satanic pope, the one world religion. You're into idol worshiping. You're into every kind of evil religious act and religion, false religions. Only Christ can save your soul. And why you want to die and go to hell? Why? Then what?
God was sorry that he had created humans, Genesis chapter 6, verse 7. Therefore he prepared a flood to drown them all, with the exception of eight people. As Job stated, God is, quote, mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered.
Yeah. Who are you going to harden yourself against the Lord and say, I'm not worshiping somebody like that that would just kill people? Well, he's not going to let you live either, that hardening yourself against God and saying that you're not going to worship him because he doesn't do things your way, you pompous idiot. What in the world is wrong with you except, I know what's wrong, you're like possessed by the spirit of Satan. That's what it is, all right. That's what it is. Then what?
Which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, unquote, Job chapter 9, verse 4 and 6. Isaiah says to all sinners, quote, thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire, unquote, Isaiah.
Now this is the Bible, okay? God promises this. Okay, that's Isaiah what?
29, verse 6.
Yeah, pick up your Bible and read it. We're not making this up. Okay? Is he God doing that? Yes. It's not Mother Nature that threatens that way, or natural disaster. It's God. Right? Then what?
The United States, Japan, Indonesia, India, Africa, and every other continent with their thousands of cities have been visited by earthquakes, tsunamis, and other plagues, including pestilences, tornadoes, and floods from God.
And pestilences are diseases. Now it's the bird flu, which the people, the media, the scientists, the chemists are saying is going to kill one-third of the earth population, a couple billion people. Are you one of them, or are you going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and get saved and not worry about whether it's you or not? Because if you died, and you will die, you'll be right in heaven. Then what else, which is far better than this earth? Then what?
But if the cities that God has already blasted with these plagues, such as earthquakes, are the only ones he plans to blast, why does God say he will shake terribly the entire earth? Quote, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, unquote, Isaiah chapter 24, verse 20. Quote, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth, unquote, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 19.
Well, and you see people whining because their entire families left, but you let them worship Muhammad. Somebody that's dead. What's the matter with you? Wake up. Then what else?
Jesus said to a group of people, quote, are you thinking that these Galileans were greater sinners in comparison to all the Galileans because they have suffered these things? Bracket, Jesus was talking about the people who Pontius Pilate had murdered, out of bracket. Not at all. I am saying to you, but unless you are repenting, you all will likewise perish.
So you all get earthquakes. You people that are in little towns, look at these mudslides hit little tiny towns. Go ahead.
or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, are you thinking that they themselves were greater offenders in comparison to all the men who were residents of Jerusalem? Not at all. I am saying to you, but unless you repent, you all will likewise perish. Unquote. Luke chapter 13, verse 2 through 5, original Greek. Jesus prophesied that one of the signs of the end of time would be a worldwide epidemic of earthquakes. Millions have been expecting a much bigger quake than the ones we've recently seen, which the media is calling the, quote, big one, unquote, which those who belong to God call the, quote, world quake, unquote.
And you say, well, it's not because of God, it's because of the faults. Who do you think put the faults there? Nummy. Okay, then what?
God shall move the earth off its very axis. Are you ready to meet your Maker? Have you been regenerated? Is the Spirit of God living in you and working through you? If not, you had better work on this immediately, for it is far later than you know. The recent tsunamis, pestilences, famines, floods, and earthquakes are but drops in the bucket in comparison to what our Lord and Savior stated will happen, because the world government, cult, media, and population at large all thumb their noses at God. It's as though they believe that God will not avenge himself on them. People foolishly think that the world government, cult, and media are more powerful than God. They will think this until an earthquake, a tsunami, AIDS, heart trouble, cancer, leukemia, floods, famine, and all God's other pestilences.
Like the bird flu. Then what?
Yes, sir.
Then what?
Until other pestilences hit them. What will the world government, cult, media, and all those who reject God do when God shakes the world terribly, hits this earth with the first seven major plagues, parentheses, soon, and parentheses, and then, soon after, hits this earth with the final seven plagues?
Okay, what will the Red Cross do also? Or this FEMA? They're going to pay for your hotel room? What about if there's no hotels, all right? How foolish you people are. What fools these mortals be. Okay, what else?
Many of the plagues that God has promised to send this wicked world as warnings to repent have happened. There's more to come. You haven't seen anything yet. Why would anyone be so foolish as to not believe that he will send the world quake? There are thousands of earthquakes every day of the year. If I were one of today's nose-thumbing disbelievers of God's word, I would never think to accuse God on the great day of judgment, which is soon to come, of not giving me ample warning about the forthcoming destructions and condemnation that will happen to the world and its population at large.
And in fact, it's happening. Huh? Amen?
Amen.
What is everybody so worried about with this bird flu? They're killing chickens all over the place. Do you eat chicken? Well, you better pray over it. Okay, then what else?
What hope can be had by the unsaved, defiant, sinful wretches of this age? Those who reject God's beloved Son, Christ Jesus, the Word of God. Those who refuse to follow God's life-giving words of instruction, but instead worship false religions such as Hinduism, Shintoism, Mohammedanism, Buddhism, Satanism, Catholicism, and every other ism, including Judaism. Judaism is false because it rejects Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Messiah.
So it's a false religion. You've got Mormonism. You know, they just exalt Joseph Smith. Don't exalt Joseph Smith. Exalt the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And don't exalt. I see them on their channel exalting one man after another, and they just think they're so eloquent. And while the world is coming to an end, they're out there playing football, baseball, basketball, and all this kind of thing. They just think, well, that's what we humans do. Well, I never heard of Jesus playing football, basketball, baseball, or any of the apostles. Do you? Amen?
No,
I don't know. They were more serious about the Word of God than these people. I know they have all kinds of pictures of the Jesus and everything in their temples, but you know, it's easy to put pictures up, but you need to preach the truth. The Bible says that anyone that preaches any other doctrine other than the Lord that is in the Bible, is accursed. They're cursed by God. Then it repeats it again. So you've got to just preach the word, and that's it. That's what the Lord says. Preach the word. Amen? Then what else?
Those who chase after the lust and sin of this present world, which is soon to perish, soon to end. Why do you think that God has allowed America and every other continent to be invaded by the Antichrist Roman world cult, government, and media? It is because the people of the world love sinning.
Yeah, in the Roman Catholic cult, they don't care. They hide the homosexuals there. This is where the first whorehouses opened. That was even said on the History Channel. And they are the ones that brought that to light. And they're the ones that have, according to the Bible, are the guilty one for every abomination that's happening on earth, that has ever happened and ever will. It's why? Because it's Satan. Just like it's the same one that were the origin of the rosary, the origin of all the statues, people that are possessed by the devil. So this is in their head of world government, and all the evil wars that are started were started by the Vatican. So, you know, stay out of there. Don't worry, God's going to get to them. He's just showing everyone that because you're listening to them, he's suffering them. He says he's letting them get on for a season. And then the Vatican, the Bible plainly states that that town, the city with the seven hills, seven mountains, is going to be utterly destroyed. And the few people of the world are going to see the smoke of it ascending up into heaven. And people will be mourning because of it, because they were into commerce. And they're the ones that stop you from getting ahead in business, or they will exalt you and put you in business if you align yourself with them. But, you know, that city, New Orleans, is an all-Catholic town. They even call it parishes, and everything is Catholic there. And look at what God did to them twice in a row. And that's just the beginning. It's Sin City. They changed the name of it to the Big Easy. I don't think it's so easy anymore. Very little easiness there in the big, quote, Big Easy, unquote. Then what?
The whole world has been deceived into believing that sin is fine. Therefore, God has allowed the evil one-world government, cult, and media, ruled by Satan with his satanic force, to invade the United States and the rest of the world.
Right, and God is plaguing the entire world because people have received it instead of him. Okay, then what?
God has also sent plagues, and as the Bible states, shall send many more plagues. Again, this is the discipline of the Holy Spirit. God, by the Holy Spirit, has created many negative environments in the world to chasten sinners in the hope that they will repent of their disobedience, their disregard, and their hatred for God, His Word, His commandments, and His people. God will be forced to create even a more unlikable environment for the people of the world if they stubbornly refuse to repent of their worshiping idols and false religions, and if they continue to stubbornly rebel against God's instructions provided for them through Christ Jesus, who again is the whole Word of God. If they continue to reject Christ in favor of Satan, God's environment for the people who do such evil things will be an environment that shall utterly destroy them.
Right, so he'll create a horrible environment for everybody in the world, except those of us that are of him. He did that in Egypt. He created such a evil, but he sent his own people to a certain place in Egypt that he didn't destroy. And it was fine. And that's what he'll do to you if you're born again of the Spirit. He'll place you in a nice environment. But the rest of them are going to suffer like the people in Egypt, or even worse now, because everything is worse. Because back then, you know, when God drowned the world, they didn't have television to just magnify satanic works. And so now they have it, and everybody's just swooped up into it, and they think that there's not going to be any end. So God's cutting off the power in cities, and people are on the streets, shivering cold and hungry, and their houses are destroyed. what else? And many of their family and friends are dead. Okay, then what?
The environments that God has created thus far are warnings that this too will happen to you if you continue on in your sinful, rebellious ways. The reason for the outward discipline of the Holy Spirit is simply to wake you up, cause you to repent, and persuade you to become a member of Christ's body. Any refusal to repent and believe the gospel will bring the death and torment of your eternal soul in hell and the lake of fire. The Antichrist government has no power against God's plagues. What can they do but pretend to come up with some stupid course of action, another one of their many pipe dreams? God will soon put a final end to them. He will also put an end to all those with unrepentant, sin-loving souls, with their sin-loving spirits, sin-loving minds, and sin-loving hearts. God is allowing this to happen throughout the world, just as he allowed Titus, Babylon, and Nazi Germany to overpower his own chosen people. I've said this in the past, and I'll say it again. If God has allowed such things to happen to his highly chosen people, what do you think he's going to do to you Gentiles, those of you who worship idols and commit other abominable sins? He has allowed the Antichrist to invade every country in the world. The Antichrist, called the, quote, man of sin, unquote, the, quote, son of perdition, unquote, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, is a corporate body of men, women, children, cult, government, and media, just as those who belong to Christ are a corporate body, one that worships and serves God. Those who belong to Christ are the singular body of Christ, the one and only corporate body of Christ. Christ is the head, and those of us who belong to Christ are the body he lives in on earth.
All right. I see that our time is up, and we're going to continue this message on the next tape, God willing. And then if I'm not invaded here by the Antichrist government, we're going to also do the other pieces of literature that I've written. So until tomorrow, you know, just look at the news and see if that is, if you want to believe that that's Mother Nature, or read the Bible, these scriptures that we've been telling you, and then consider whether you think it's God or not. They're taking a vote, and a lot of people are saying it's not God, but it's Mother Nature. But why would you think that when God, his word, which you must believe in order to be saved, which is Christ, says that he's doing it? So don't be foolish, don't be stupid. Accept Christ into your heart. Say, my Lord and my God, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I believe that you're the Son of the living God. Wash me in your precious blood. Until tomorrow, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, praise the Lord, and God bless you.